everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Recent wildfires in California, which forced tens of thousands of people to evacuate their homes and millions to lose power, are now mostly under control. But after the fires, dangerous conditions continue to pose a health hazard, particularly in the form of air pollution. For more on this, I'm joined by Marisa Lagos, political correspondent at KQED, and Umair Irfan, staff writer at Vox. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Tanzina.
Thanks for having me.
Marisa, we just said that the fires right now are under control, but is wildfire season over or are we expecting more?
It's not over. I mean, we're hoping not to have more, but I think firefighters and folks around California remain on high alert. I know there are still fires burning, right? The one up in Sonoma County is almost fully contained, but there's still, you know, some residual impact. And, you know, just checking things out Tuesday morning in the Bay Area, it looks like there's another fire up in the Redding area. Not a huge one, but that could potentially impact our air quality down here. So, you know, I think that we're going to be on high alert until we get a big rainstorm, which is not forecast to happen, at least in the next few weeks.
Umair, we're talking about the after effects of these fires, particularly in the form of air pollution and smoke. What does that type of smoke do to our health?
Well, there are a number of things that it can do. In the acute form, it can cause eye irritation, breathing difficulties, and heart trouble. And over the long term, it can contribute to long-term chronic illness, things like heart disease and emphysema, and potentially contributing to risks of cancer.
How long do the effects of this type of smoke last? I mean, is it over when it's no longer visible to us? Or like Marisa says, once there's a rain that comes into the region and clears it out, how long should people be on alert?
I mean, generally, yeah, it's a function of how long these hazardous particles are, you know, suspended in the air. And usually rain can help get rid of that. But the hazard can remain for people that are actually, you know, more vulnerable, the very young, the very old, people with underlying health conditions and at a lower threshold of pollution. So at a lower concentration of these hazards, they can actually still continue to get sick. So it's important to pay attention to air quality alerts.
Marisa, we've been seeing reports every time there's a fire about people who continue to go to work. Farm workers, for example, housekeepers, gardeners were showing up to their jobs while homeowners were evacuating. Are these people at greater risk, particularly those who are forced to work outside?
They are, and not just during wildfire season. I mean, we know that, for example, the Central Valley of California, which is, you know, our farm belt, has the highest air pollution in most parts of the state. And so that's, you know, a result, obviously, of pesticides and things that happen there. But it's also just the fact that it's a huge valley and that, you know, pollutants from all over the state tend to settle there. Last year during the campfire in Paradise, which was massive, you could see in, you know, from above the pictures that were taken, satellite pictures, that it had really just settled all across the state. And so people who already, as you said, work outside are more vulnerable. You know, young children who may be with them are going to feel the effects of all these things even harder. We saw the LA Times report on housekeepers showing up to the fires in Malibu, even after all the homeowners had evacuated, nobody had told them. So I think that, you know, people in more vulnerable populations tend to have exacerbated health effects anyway. And if we're not doing a good job of communicating and giving them options, then it's even worse.
Well, Mayor, generally speaking, what should people do to protect themselves from air pollution?
The general strategy is to minimize your exposure to begin with. And so that means, you know, sealing doors and windows when there are high air quality alert days and minimizing exposure when you're outside. And that can include, you know, wearing these N95 particulate filter masks if you have to be outside for any prolonged period of time. And just again, like the only thing you can really do is to minimize breathing that air in as much as possible.
And how are people, Umair, able to get access to protection? I mean, are they expected to buy it on their own or is the local government going to provide that for them?
It really depends on where you are. There are some local jurisdictions that will, you know, hand out these N95 masks. You can usually buy them in hardware stores. But typically, as is the case, I mean, when you have a huge air quality reduction after in the wake of a fire, you can often find that stores are cleaned out of these masks. And it can be difficult to find, particularly for people who don't have the means to travel to a place that does have these masks in stock. So that can be a potential hazard as well.
Marisa, you are there on the ground in California. I mean, what does it look like? What precautions are people taking to protect themselves from the pollution? Are people walking around with masks right now?
Yeah, not as much as last year when, as I said, I mean, the entire sort of state almost felt like it was blanketed in really hazy smoke after the campfire. You couldn't, you know, the sky was orange 24 hours a day. This time it's been a little bit sort of not quite as extreme. We've seen days where the air quality is really troubling, but you know, and some people, I think, have those masks. The truth is they're very uncomfortable to wear. And if you're doing it right, it's harder to breathe. So young kids can't really do it. I think what a lot of people are just doing is trying to check the air quality and do what they can to keep themselves safe while, of course, needing to go throughout their normal day when they do.
Yeah, Marisa, we talked a lot about with Umair in the previous segment about the long-term effect, the health effects that this can have. Is the state of California ready to deal with health risks this year? Or, as we know, fires are not going to stop. So in years to come, do they have a plan with how to deal with this from a public health perspective?
You know, I'd like to say they do, but I think mostly what we're seeing is a sort of public relations campaign to tell people to stay inside and to protect themselves. There's not a lot you can do once the fires break out. And so I think that what they're trying to do is get ahead of this problem and do what they can to prevent these fires and to mitigate them. But I have not seen sort of anything besides like in the moment. I mean, sometimes they'll have centers people can go to where maybe they will have, you know, filtered air. As the other guest said, sometimes they'll be handing out masks if it's particularly bad. But I don't think there's sort of a cohesive approach to this because this problem has really, I think, surprised a lot of people.
And Umair, to that point, I mean, beyond California, how much of a public health issue is air pollution, at least on a national level or even on a global level?
It's one of the most severe public health issues in the world. The World Health Organization estimates that about 7 million people a year die from air pollution. Other studies have found that number as high as 9 million. And one form in particular is known as particulate matter 2.5, which is basically particles that are smaller than 2.5 microns in diameter. That can kill up to 4.1 million people a year alone. And that's a specific hazard because it penetrates very deep into the lungs when you breathe it in, triggering inflammation and a whole bunch of other health issues.
Is this at the top of anyone's list when it comes to public health?
Generally, yeah. A lot of people, when they are talking about air pollution, public health, PM2.5 is often the main culprit. For the Environmental Protection Agency, it's what's known as a criteria pollutant, one of the hazardous substances that they name and regulate directly. And there are a number of like measures in place to track it, but oftentimes we run into issues like in the wake of the fires and the blackout, some of the air quality monitoring stations were shut off. And so that turned out to be an issue in terms of detecting where the worst pollution was and who to warn to stay away from it.
Umair Irfan is a staff writer at Vox, and Marisa Lagos is a politics correspondent at KQED. Thanks to you both.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.